Salutations, my friends. And thank you for tuning in to another edition of Factions of Freedom.
Wow.
That's right. We're still here. Still putting out the content that you love and that you deserve. Still trying to keep up the good fight. Let me just say that we have an action-packed episode ready for you guys, as always. But before we do, I want to get into a few updates with you guys, so that you kind of know where we're at, where our head's at, what we're doing, and the operation, what's kind of happened in between Season 6. So quick update for you guys. Basically, exclusive members, you are now the guinea pigs. We're going to be doing all kinds of different stuff with video. I really want you guys to give us your feedback. So if you really want to help the operation, you really want to see us succeed and start making more moves, think about becoming a Patreon exclusive member. We literally have packages that start at like $1, and you get access to the archive seasons. As I said before, you know, we're going to be getting involved with video. And with that, I want to say that, you know, with our Fellowship and Freedom page that we have, the show that's partnered with On the Wake Up Radio every other Sunday, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, where you can call in live. I'm going to be trying to at least record the episode live, clearly, but do video portions of it. So I want to make sure that you guys go and follow our Fellowship and Freedom page so you can be there whenever we try this part of the next experiment. So definitely do that. I'll put all the links and everything else that you need in the description bar below. You can also get the Fact Up Season 6, or you can just, as I said before, become a Patreon exclusive member, get access to Season 1 through 6, as well as our Building the Matrix series and so much more. I'll be going over some of the mini-casts and things that I touched on during the break in this actual episode, and I'll put the links in them, you know, mental health manipulation or monetization, the Space Force, Civil War Destabilization, Resource Humans, all those different things. I'll be putting those links in the description bar below so you guys can go check it out and kind of get caught up on what we're doing. But with that being said, I want to say thank you guys for tuning into this very action-packed episode. Strap yourselves in, because it's not going to be easy. With that being said, let's start the show. Salutations and thank you for tuning in to the Season 7 debut. Wow, Season 7 premiere. And we're still here. You know, we had a lot of different stuff go down in between the seasons, but obviously we still covered it. I hope you guys paid attention to it. A lot of different updates, a lot of different things going on. Really trying to, you know, embrace this operation that we're doing here. I've learned so much. Such a short amount of time, it feels like, but it's because we're kind of challenging ourselves to not only put out good content, but also, as I said before, embrace this position that we're in. I want to do the whole media thing, right? So, you know, let's really get into kind of what's happening these days. You know, if there's anything I can kind of say about Season 6, it really felt like it was way more political than I wanted it to be. We were going over the technocracy, the military-industrial complex, the police state, the surveillance state, things like China's social credit system, and we'll be going over, you know, things that, like this as well in this edition. I just think it's crazy, you know, not only how there's still more pedophile roundups taking place, but, you know, what is happening? As I'm recording this, the 4th of July just happened, right? Independence Day. And I laughed, I kind of laughed when I was talking with friends about it. You know, it's kind of crazy that we're talking about illegal immigration, right, around the 4th of July. What is happening to the country? What's going on in the world? What we're basically seeing, if you ask me, is, again, that struggle between nationalism and globalism. If you guys have been paying attention to some of the minicasts and the broadcasts and everything else that we've been doing on Instagram and social media, we've talked about how basically what we see right now is a deconstruction, a reformation, so to speak. And I've talked about this before, you know, we've even kind of studied the theory more. What we think of as patriotism is radically being shifted, not only here in America, but across the world, right? So what does this mean? And the kind of thought pattern that I had, right, was they're tearing down everything else that doesn't represent the ideologies of the country, right? And with it, they're replacing these globalist ideas. So how are we talking about globalization, nationalism, the 4th of July, Independence Day, and all these other things? Well, like I said, independence. The idea that we are fighting for our own idea, our own civilization. We have globalization taking place. With immigration comes the invasion. Comes, you know, literal waves, swaths of uneducated people that need health care, that need a place to stay, they need a job. And then, you know, there's reproduction. There's a lot of different things that are happening with that. So what's going on with the country? With, you know, the immigration invasion, it's not only happening here in America, that's also happening, you know, in places like Europe and everywhere else. It's kind of abiding by this global agenda. The idea behind it is to push so many people in that it kind of collapses the system. Everybody can't be on welfare. And we'll be getting into things like, you know, universal basic income and stuff like this as well, because that ties into it, right? Their idea is to literally create a class of people who are allied to the system. And for me, again, if you guys have been paying attention to the minicast that we did in between the seasons, I talked about how the idea is to get people domesticated onto Earth, right? And then they'll gradually do whatever it is that they do while, you know, Donald Trump's announcing the Space Force. And we'll get into all this stuff and more, because this is all important. I'm just trying to, you know, I guess jump right into it. Doesn't really feel like we missed a whole lot in between seasons. I know that I know we didn't. Definitely kept an eye and a pulse on the news. That's for sure. So again, what is this deconstructivism? It's whenever we were talking about tearing down statues, burning books, the social engineering, everything else. You know, you have Antifa over here talking about how they want to abolish ICE. Again, if you do that, you have them doxing agents, officers. You know, if you do that, you're basically opening up the floodgates. And that's what America stood for, right? But here we go again. Right here asking the question of what is happening to the country. Are we really who we say we are? Are we really what we say we're about? Wasn't that the idea? To send us your hungry, to send us your needy, to send us all of those that are burdened and sickened and ill, and we'll heal them. Wasn't that what America was supposed to be? So what changed? Well, Americans got spoiled. We became domesticated. Right? But now, don't worry about that. Like I said, as all of this is taking place, it's the destruction. The planned collapse. You see? Waves of uneducated, illiterate, and misguided people destroying borders, destabilizing the economy. Like I said, who thought about all this stuff before it appeared in the news? This isn't just a simple thing. You know, even whenever we were talking about the whole separating families or separating kids from families, that's not what did we really accomplish? We just, you know, were able to keep families and kids in the same cage. We also heard that they have, you know, these detainment centers, these detainment facilities, these internment camps. And this wasn't put up underneath Obama under Trump. This is put up underneath Bush and Obama. They just signed a law the other day, or I forget. Let me see if I can find it. A judge talked about how he's ordering Trump to end the indefinite detention of asylum seekers. Let's see if we can get this article up for you guys. Because, you know, this type of stuff is important. Why is indefinite detention important? They could lock you up, man. You would never know. You would never know. Your family, they would never know. Right here, put this up July 3rd. It says, judge orders Trump administration to end indefinite detention of asylum seekers. This is by the Anti-Media, by Julie Conley. It says, immigrant rights advocates on Tuesday applauded a federal judge's ruling that the Trump administration cannot detain the asylum seekers who are awaiting immigration hearings, a practice that breaks the government's own policies as well as international law. Today's ruling means that the Trump administration cannot use indefinite detention as a weapon to punish and deter asylum seekers. So that's right. You can't say we're going to lock you up if you come in this country. Didn't they, didn't Mike Pence go to South America and say, you know, if you come across the border, come try it? Or something really rude. You know, but the point is this, you know, while we're all of a sudden refugee activists' rights or human rights activists for refugees, you know, what is this going to do? We have homeless people here already in our country. We have people that don't want to work in our country, that don't want to build, that don't want to create, that don't want to produce, right? You've heard me talk about this. How do we create something in a collapsed economy? How do we create something in the ashes? This is why when you hear me say Renaissance over revolution, we're building something on these ashes. Because what's going to happen is this is going to lower the standards across the board. Everybody's going to be brought down. That was the whole point of Obama's administration, was to bring us down to a third world country, to lower the standards. That's why Trump doing anything is just like, oh my God, look, it happened. Something happened. But that's why they're already ramping up the political tension, the civil unrest, you know, the domestic violence, you know. And what I'm trying to do by pointing all this type of stuff out is seeing how they set the tone for all of this stuff to go down. They literally give everybody the weapons and then let them destroy themselves. That's the whole point. You see, they don't want it to where people are actually communicating. They just want it to where, you know, where a new issue popped up. Be triggered. Be upset. You know, it really is something else. It plays into this goldfish mindset that they're trying to give us. And one thing I wanted to point out while we were here, you know, the goldfish mindset, the destabilization, rewriting America, changing patriotism, you know, leveling us. What's kind of crazy about this is now we have a police union that's calling for the banning of books in high school because they mentioned police brutality. Ban the books. You know, ban the books, delete the content, censor the people. Stop letting people say stuff. This is from the Free Thought Project. It's by Matt Argoist. It says police are calling for books to be banned from school because they talk about police brutality in real life scenarios that say they breed distrust. Well, and now you want to go burn it. You know, now you want to go burn it. They don't see how they play into their own message. I put this up July 3rd. It says, censorship is the necessity of the police state. Peaceful ideas that oppose the status quo expose the insidious nature of the establishment and are therefore stricken from the public record. This has been the long practice of all empires, and it is currently the practice in America today. Case in point, police in South Carolina are attempting to get two books in a school banned because they talk about police brutality and corruption. Well, maybe if cops weren't, you know, crooked and brutal, there wouldn't be anything to talk about. The thing is when you hide the truth, you manipulate reality. You manipulate. You're practicing deception. And that's why Donald Trump said that, you know, you knew he was a snake before you let him in. So if he pulls any crap, you already knew he was a snake. But continuing on, it says the Fraternal Order of Police in Tri-County have made their case public and are demanding that Andy Thomas's multiple award-winning novel about police brutality, The Hate U Give, on a school's summer reading list be banned. The union referred to the book as almost an indoctrination of distrust of police. As the Freethought Project has reported on numerous occasions, although this book is certainly not, quote, an indoctrination of distrust of police. The police themselves give society every reason to distrust them. I could not agree more. Another case in point is how we're recently hearing of how apparently cops are giving kids or giving people that they detain ketamine. You know, I don't know if you guys ever saw that video, but here, you know, before we get into this, cops giving people, injecting people with ketamine. Let's see this video of cops where they're literally restraining and tasing a teenager. Okay, these officers have been arrested. Two police officers strapped in an 18-year-old boy in restraints and tortured him with a taser are now arrested with multiple charges. So let's take a watch.
Now, are you ready? Would you like to comply?
Can I get you on the wire?
Would you like to comply? No, he won't.
And what you're hearing is the taser go off.
Hey, Ben.
What?
Good.
Are you down here?
Stop resisting. I'll keep on doing it while I run out of battery.
Yeah, I'm pretty mad about that. Because that's crazy. Yeah, no, you're literally hearing the taser just like continually go off, like discharge on him. Like he's just like shaking. It's ridiculous. There's no lie in that article or in that book. I'm sure this type of stuff happens all the time, you know, torture and everything else. These are the jackboots of the state. This is why we need to, you know, watch the police, not because, you know, the book is telling the truth. You see. So while we're here talking about, you know, what's going on domestically, what's kind of causing issues, right? Apparently, Antifa. They're back. And they have attacked what? A prayer group, a Patriot prayer group. And, you know, what? I don't think it was deliberate. If you want the truth, and I'm not trying to make an excuse for Antifa, but what I am trying to say is this kind of behavior is what I'm talking about with the illegal immigration, them doxing ICE. Fights like this type starting, you know, even earlier or towards the end of June, we heard about how, you know, people were getting smacked around. And, you know, I don't really believe in the left-right paradigm. You know, it's not a, I don't play that game. I kind of like to step back and kind of look at how everything else is going on. But I definitely see them kind of trying to, you know, just ignite this little tit for tat, this little fight in between political parties. And so now, like I said, you have Antifa clashing with this Patriot prayer group. Now, whether or not it was intentional, who knows? But what that's going to do is send out this signal, the same way we're now hearing about how people in Denmark are being accosted for wearing MAGA hats. People in Texas are being accosted for wearing MAGA hats. You know, I'm not standing up for the Trump supporters. I'm just trying to stand up for genuine human decency. You come up and smack me, you're going to get smacked right back. Politics has nothing to do about it. There's a common indecency that's like spreading. You see what I'm saying? I think I might have talked about it back in season 5 a lot more. But there's like a legalization of lunacy going on. To where people are just, you know, they're like, you know what, I can be batshit crazy. I can be wild. I can go out there and destroy stuff. I can challenge people. I can smack them. I don't really have to hear them. And you guys know me. I'm always down to hear a good discussion or a good talk. But that kind of level of, you know, self-respect, that's not there these days. That's why you're hearing me tell you, we got to take this information out there. We got to make sure our stuff is on point. But at the same time, try to really clarify people because they don't understand that there's a lot of social engineering going on. You know, when I talked about this in one of our minicasts, and I'll put all the links for those in the description bar below, you know, you got to stand for something or you're going to fall for everything. And that's kind of where we're at these days. We're having swaths of people who don't know really what's going on, who are falling for everything. So let's see. Let's play this clip for you guys where we have Antifa clashing with the Patriot Prayer Group. Yeah, so, you know, as you have protests between people and other groups, man, just, you know, kind of carrying on. This kind of chaos is going to continue. That's the only thing I can really say. It's been happening since Trump's come into office. If you're more conspiratorial minded like myself, The Economist magazine kind of predicted this. It's the mobilization of the ideologies. And it's all, you know, like I said before at the start of the show, to kind of plant the seeds for this civil unrest, the civil destabilization, the civil war that they're trying to plant. This is why they're trying to push race down our throats. That's why they're trying to push, you know, Trump or Democratic Party or, you know, conservative Republicans, blah, 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 blah. Same size as the two coin. And really, all it boils down to, if you ask me, and there's probably other factors, I'm sure, you know, we'll get into it more in this season, is just that, how we're seeing the deconstruction of America to where these ideologies, such as communism, such as fascism, such as capitalism, patriotism, all these other different things, we're seeing them clash, these ideologies. And if you ask me, what's going to come out on top is the technocracy. We're going to learn that some of these things don't work. But that's if you ask me. So we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about the technocracy, talking about what's going on, how we're technologically domesticated with all these things that they have going on and more. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. This is the Season 7 debut. We'll be back soon. You know, it's a long time coming, being here. A lot of the times, I don't really think I'm worthy of having the privilege of being here. You know, in between these, when you do things like this, and I'm sure other show hosts and news outlets, podcasts, I'm sure they all feel like this. You don't really understand what's going on. And when I say that, I mean, you're following your intuition. A lot of the times you're just kind of, you know, constantly trying to improve, constantly trying to do the next thing, constantly trying to, you know, make that step. And then, you know, you turn around, you're like, holy crap, I did all that. Yeah, that was you. You did all that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the season 7 debut. So like I said, we were going to talk about this technological domestication. What does that mean? They gave us all of these tools, all of these little black boxes, all of these little silver boxes, all of these devices to absorb us, to take our essence, to take that which defines us. Am I right? I know that's a more esoteric approach to it, but that's kind of how I see things. Even now, however you're listening, it was meant to distract you. I'm trying to use this distraction, take this moment to enlighten you. You see, technological domestication, they have us actively distracted on all these distractions. Richard Branson, apparently he's the founder of the Virgin Group. He's talking about how, you know, to fix income inequality, we just need to start giving people free money. Elon Musk, you guys know Elon. Tesla, SpaceX, yeah, that guy. He says that we also need to start having things such as UBI, Universal Basic Income. Automation's going to come through. It's going to take all the jobs. And then, you know, people are going to, they're not going to be jobs. All the robots are going to do it. So this is why we need to give people money. Think about that, what I talked about in the first segment right there. All of these people that do come in, not only the homeless, but the refugees, the asylum seekers, the illegal migrants. This sounds like a great idea, don't you think? Well, places like Stockton, California have already started it. But before we get there, let's listen to Richard Branson talk about how we may need a universal basic income to fix income inequality.
The economy is doing well here in the United States. Tax cuts, deregulation, a stock market that's been booming, although it's been a little iffy the last couple of weeks. Are you concerned about income inequality?
I think with the coming on of AI and other things that there is certainly a danger of income inequality.
Why? And artificial intelligence, why? Because it...
Well, just the amount of jobs it's going to take away and so on.
And that's coming. You think that's going to happen?
There's no question it will. So we've got to come up with ways of, you know, creating new jobs. But I think a basic minimum earnings for everybody, so that there's nobody that is having to sleep on the street.
So guaranteed basic income or universal basic income.
100% think that's really important.
Well, there are people in this country who call that a nanny state, you know.
Some people will call it that, but I think that it will come about one day, and I think
out of necessity,
and I think that, you know, cities should experiment. You know, you should have the more we can experiment with things, the better. I mean, like, you know, with drug reform, the fact that cities just experimented by, you know, some legalizing marijuana, some doing medical marijuana, and now we can look back and see there wasn't an explosion of people taking marijuana. You know, there's been benefits from, you know, from all the tax and so on. So if people could do the same with basic income and just experiment with some cities and see what happens.
And there actually are cities that are taking place, or at least taking part, in debuting just that, in debuting universal basic income, because this is a key word. We have to understand that when they're saying these types of things, it's kind of sending out signals. It's time to activate. It's time to do these types of things. Get the word out. Universal basic income. Universal basic income. This is a term that you will hear more in the future as it pertains to what's going to happen. Technological displacement, the fourth industrial revolution. This is what happens with automation, power consolidation. So many different things come just with this. So here we have Elon Musk talking about the very same thing, talking about universal basic income.
There will be fewer and fewer jobs that a robot cannot do better.
Okay.
What to do about mass unemployment? This is going to be a massive social challenge. And I think ultimately we will have to have some kind of universal basic income. I don't think we're going to have a choice.
Universal basic income.
Universal basic income. I think it's going to be necessary.
So it means that unemployed people will be paid across the globe.
Yeah.
Because there is no job, machine, robot is taking over.
That's simply the, and I want to be clear that these are not things that I think that I wish would happen. These are simply things that I think probably will happen. And since if my assessment is correct and they probably will happen, then we need to say what are we going to do about it. And I think some kind of a universal basic income is going to be necessary. There will be fewer and fewer jobs that a robot cannot.
Now, I'm sure you're wondering, why are we over here talking about universal basic income when you just spent half of the time talking about a civil war, destabilization, deconstructivism, all this other stuff that's going on? Well, what I'm trying to tell you is what comes after. Everybody's caught up in the moment, caught up in what's happening, caught up in, Donald Trump said something, so I need to be triggered today. You're not paying attention to what comes after either the collapse or what comes on, as I said before, the ashes of what they are trying to build. You see, the idea behind this is to have just that technological domestication to where we don't fight back for rights. You see, and one of the things I want to mean by that, as that reporter said, this is the nanny state, you see, where they're guaranteed income. This is put up almost a month ago. This is from about Michael Tubbs, the mayor, the 27-year-old mayor of Stockton, California, where they themselves are trying universal basic income. Let's take a listen.
Political plan to combat poverty. Give its poorest residents $500 a month and see what they do with it. Michael Tubbs is spearheading the first-of-its-kind project in the U.S., which is part of an 18-month experiment funded by the Economic Security Project.
So when we talk about things like economic insecurity or people working harder and harder only to fall further and further behind, I felt almost a moral responsibility to do something.
The issue of poverty is personal for Tubbs. Growing up in Stockton, where one in four residents live in poverty, his family relied on government assistance to get by.
My mom was on welfare for the first 5-6 years of my life, and you get food stamps, but that's not cash. And maybe food's not the biggest need. You could go over a family member's house to eat.
The Economic Security Project, co-led by Facebook co-founder Chris Hughes, is giving $1 million. But the mayor of Stockton has a radical plan to combat poverty. Give it to.
Now, I know this kind of sounds like a radical idea, as I said before. Free cash, $500 a month, trying to combat poverty. What would happen with mass unemployment, automation, what's happening. The whole point behind this, if you ask me as well, is to really look at, you know, human patterns. They want to be able to see what you're doing. They want to be able to know you. Free money, nothing is free. All that requires is your security. All that requires is everything that you give up. Free money to them is whenever then they have you. Then they know everything that you're doing. You're trapped. You're domesticated. You're a serf of their state. You see. Recently, Google announced that they wanted to have a city in Toronto. I think that's crazy. Because again, we're talking about the nanny state, the smart city, the technocracy, how these people are creating something that doesn't necessarily abide by government regulations. They're not really beholden to anyone. Let's get into this article. It's by Joshua Keaton of Technocracy News. I put it up July 2nd, It says, technocrats at Google have a scientific solution for every problem, including cities. The problem is that Google or any other big tech company has no experience in urban planning or designing cities. So the result is nothing more than their own private version of utopia. Even with a chilly mid-May breeze blowing off of Lake Ontario, the city's western waterfront approach approaches Idy Lake. The lake laps up against the boardwalk. People sit in colorful Adirondack chairs. Adirondack chairs and footfalls of pedestrians compete with the cry of gulls. But walk east and the scene quickly changes. Cut off from the gleaming downtown Toronto by the Garnier Expressway, the city trails off into a dusty landscape of rock-strewn parking lots and heaps of construction materials. Toronto's eastern waterfront is bleak enough that Guillermo del Toro, his gothic film, The Shape of Water, used it as a plausible stand-in for Baltimore circa 1962, says Adam Vaughn, a former journalist who represents this district in Canada's parliament. Quote, it's weird. It's this weird industrial land that's just been sitting there, acres and acres of it, and no one's really known what to do with it. That was before Google. This past October, a coalition of the Toronto, Ontario, and Canadian governments contracted with Sidewalk Labs, a sister company of Google, to come up with a $50 million design for a dozen acres of the waterfront's far eastern end. The idea is to reimagine Toronto's derelict waterfront as the world's first neighborhood built from the internet up, as Sidewalk Labs describes it. The neighborhood, called Quayside, would leapfrog the usual slow walk of gentrification to build an entire zone all at once as a smart city, a sensor-enabled, highly wired metropolis that can run itself. Toronto's choice of the Google-affiliated firm immediately captured the attention of urban planners and city officials all over the world. Magazine stories trumpeted, quote, Google's guinea pig city and a smarter smart city. Still in its early days, the partnership has left people curious but weary. Google, what does a tech company know about running a real live city? I could tell you they're watching everything right now. I could tell you that they have the information. They just need the location. They just need the place so that they can watch us. They're already doing it from the shadows. They just need a hub. Bill Gates bought a crazy amount of land out there in Arizona to do the very same thing. And now Toronto has conscripted with Sidewalk Labs to do it too. What does that mean? To have a unilateral metropolitan surveillance state. I remember I was watching Judge Dredd, the old one. Super cool. Really cheesy. I love it. And they had this holographic display of the city, right? You know, you had like the police chiefs on top of it. Just like watching, like, oh no, you know, the citizens, they're rioting. They're protesting in subsection, blah, blah, blah. And it has like a, it's like a hologram, you know, and it's crazy. But is it though? Because here's where we are. We don't have the hologram, but we do have drone layouts of cities. You see, that's why when we're looking at universal basic income, we have to understand what it means. The government giving you money? No, no. You better work for what's yours. And you should. Because when that happens, we give over our right. We give over our literal ability to govern ourselves. You see. And what we might think of as chilling today might be casually accepted tomorrow. I mean, what is direct deposit? Am I right? Check this out. This article is by Joe Martino of Collective Evolution. I put it up June 27th. It says that a survey was conducted. People are under 35 are okay with digital spying if it means they receive discounts. a survey between people of 18 to 34 said that, you know, 60% of them said, hey, you know, I'm all right with this if I get discounts. If I get discounts, you can watch me as long as I get some kind of benefit. Now, why am I tossing that out there? Well, a few weeks ago, During the break, I asked the question of, do you think you should get paid for your data? You know, data that governments, corporations, Facebook, and Google that are profiting from it. Do you think you should get paid for it? I do. I would definitely be one of the ones that said yes. You know, what we're basically talking about is how these people are financing our own enslavement with their own tools. You see, but why did I ask that question? Because what I think we're going to see in the future is just that, to where our data does become monetized, to where, you know, we're not necessarily paid to live here, but it'll give off that somewhat illusion. I hope that makes sense. Kind of like with the universal basic income, you know, you can get your $500 a month because, you know, you used a certain amount of time on Facebook or a certain amount of time on a platform, because they're trying to rearrange how the internet works. And we have all kinds of different companies and people in the background who are trying to pay people for their time, but also, you know, use their service and their product. So this is what I mean by, should you be paid for your data? Will that happen in the future? I think so. You know, and this study that's being conducted, I just think it's crazy that they even put this out there. But the study that's being conducted, you know, it's basically showing how it's going to pave the way for what's going to come after. And I want to use this time to play a clip for you guys. It's basically where, you know, this is a literal news report talking about high-tech crime fighting. What police are using the technology for? They have to gather the data before they can weaponize it against us. You know, a few years ago, and I've talked about this, a few years ago, whenever I was making my Building the Matrix documentary, I talked about how they merged criminal and civilian data print or fingerprint databases. I didn't understand it back then, but here's where we are. They had to have it in one consolidated area just so they could see where everything is going, just so they could have access to all of that information and metadata. But here, let's take a listen.
Technology has been transforming every aspect of society, and that includes revolutionary new capabilities for police departments.
From tattoo recognition technology to the growing use of drones, these high-tech innovations are highlighted in the June edition of Wired magazine. Here to tell us about it is their editor-in-chief, Nicholas Thompson. Nick, good morning.
Good morning.
So let's start with the technology a lot of people are becoming more familiar with. That's body cameras. Yeah. How good is that technology now, and where do you see the future with that?
Well, the technology is good, and it has been good at possibly reducing violent interactions between police and innocent people. What's very interesting and what will come next is facial recognition software embedded in body cameras. So computers are getting much better at identifying faces. Mm-hmm. And you can imagine police being able to just put it on, scan the streets, and say, oh, that's a suspect.
Right.
That's somebody I need to go talk to right now.
They're also now, I mean, there are systems now to store all the images from that are being collected on body cams. Is that right?
Right. So we're much better not only at collecting lots of images, but also analyzing them all. So you can imagine a sort of a mesh network of all the images taken by all the policemen, mm-hmm. looking at them and looking for patterns and looking for people.
And it's not just faces, right?
Well, it's also tattoos
and right.
all kinds of things. You can look for all kinds of patterns and images.
The tattoo thing is interesting. Why do I care about tattoos?
Well, because you can, I mean, there are kind of signatures in tattoos. The tattoos can signify certain things, perhaps yeah. a gang membership. But remember, all of this is tied into a big question. We have a Fourth Amendment in this country against unreasonable searches and seizures.
Right.
And we have that at the same time. We have this technology where we can gather massive amounts of new information and look for very specific things in it. So there is going to be huge tension over this, as there is on tattoos. Is a tattoo a form of expression that should be exempt from all of this? Or is it a signal that can be used to keep the public safe? That's a really interesting and complicated debate that we're heading right into.
Yeah, that is a really interesting question. Well, what about drones? We keep hearing more and more about this. Is there this increasing concern
yeah.
about the number of eyes in the sky?
Yeah, so drones are going to be great for police departments. They're starting to roll them out, right? You can imagine tracking suspects. You can imagine them helping in search and rescue in hostage situations. You can also imagine flying a whole bunch of them above a crowd
yeah.
and either looking for a specific person or just looking at everybody and seeing who's there. That could be great. It could help keep us safe. It could identify terrorists. It could prevent bad things from happening. Or it could be Orwellian and, you know, unreasonable government searches.
To what degree is all this new technology being used to try to anticipate or predict criminal behavior?
Yeah, so that's the next level. We're starting to see that, where police officers have software, or police departments have software that will tell them, oh, based on historical patterns or based on the property crimes we've seen recently, there might be another robbery on this block. Why don't you go drive around it?
Yeah.
Or we've taken all of these factors on different people, we've scored them all, and we've said, this guy is possibly going to commit a crime. Why don't you go see where he is right now? Mm-hmm. That is being deployed right now in all kinds of the police departments, including, controversially, Los Angeles. And we're seeing, police departments say, this is great. Helps us anticipate crimes, keep the neighborhood safe. And you're seeing people say, wait, it's just another high-tech form of profiling and, again, a violation of our Fourth Amendment rights.
Yeah, and these privacy concerns are something that we continue to hear about. Are we, Nick, at this inflection point where you've got these technologies that are advancing at this record pace and then people wondering, where is all this leading and where do my privacy rights actually kick in?
I think we're driving right through that inflection point.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Nick Thompson, thanks so much. All kinds of scary questions being posed here this morning. Nick Thompson, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, very scary questions. You know, we're literally talking about how they're monitoring our patterns. They're monitoring what we do, literally. You know, the study, there's literally a post out right now where there's studies being conducted at UC Davis where, you know, they're talking about how your phone's spying on you. This is not uncommon. They want your patterns. They want your metadata. They want you. This all-consuming black box, it wants us. This is why, as you guys have kind of seen the face more, I'm telling you, you need to develop new patterns. We all need to develop new patterns. Because as we move along more, like, forward into all of this, it's only going to speed up. And if we don't have the mindset now to, you know, to take that extra step, to do something different, to even listen to opposing views, not even agree with opposing views, but listen to them. That's whenever we're already doing better. We cannot allow for ourselves to succumb to all this type of stuff. You see, I want to point something out, because while they're over here literally trying to get as much metadata on us, the serfs, the minority, this is why they called it the Minority Report. They want to get all of us in their system. Give them a phone, give them an iPad, give them a tablet, give them a computer, give them something so that they can integrate and interface with the matrix. They want to have us literally documented, surveilled at every single angle. Why? I'll tell you after we play this clip of Donald Trump saying that he wants to establish the Space Force.
The Air Force, and we are going to have the Space Force, separate but equal. It is going to be something so important. General Dunford, when it comes to defending America, it is not enough to merely have an American presence in space. We must have American dominance in space. So important. Very importantly, I'm hereby directing the Department of Defense and Pentagon to immediately begin the process necessary to establish a Space Force as the sixth branch of the armed forces. That's a big statement. We are going to have the Air Force, and we are going to have the Space Force, separate but equal. It is going to be something so important. General Dunford, if you would carry that assignment out, I would be very greatly honored also. Where's General Dunford? General?
Yeah, so what's the point of creating the Space Force? Why are we talking about this as we talk about mass unemployment, economic insecurity, universal basic income, tracking the population? Why are we talking about the Space Force? The Space Force is for the elite. We're already talking about how they're, you know, running the underground bunkers, trying to get away from all this political civil unrest. Antifa doxing ICE officers. You know, cops being shot and killed. There's a lot of different stoked chaos happening. Deliberate chaos that is happening. The Space Force is merely a distraction. Distraction, but there's so many different things that come with that. And I'm sure as the season goes on and as we get more information about it, as it develops, we'll learn all about those secrets. because it's not just what Donald Trump says as the Space Force. There's so much more. Oh, there's a lot more, you know, and this is something that people need to pay attention to as well. You know, the fact that every single time Donald Trump has announced a space or something related to the space, there's also been talk of the Asgardia, the nation, the space nation Asgardia. And for people who are unfamiliar as to what that is, that's basically, imagine, I don't want to say it's like Starship Troopers, but we're basically talking about how these people are going to jettison themselves off into space and leave us here. They want to monitor the civilization so they can see, you know, are they dumbed down? Are they dying at a faster rate? You know, are chemtrails working? Are the vaccines working? Is the GMOs working? Is everything working? And then they want to take all of the advanced technologies, you know, the regenerative technologies, the life extinction, or extension, the consciousness transference, the cloning technologies, the 3D bioprinters, the organ transplanting, all that good stuff. They want to just take it off into space and rule over us as gods. But and again, one of the things we need to point out is how there's a separate group of people who are literally saying, you know what, we're going to go build, we're going to do this. We're going to become a breakaway civilization. We're going to just shoot ourselves off into suborbit right there above the atmosphere and just not abide ourselves to any rules. It's crazy. I mean, what is Elon Musk working on? What is SpaceX for? I mean, I know that's just, as he says, for travel. But we've really got to understand what is going on. Let me get into this for people who don't know what Asgardia is. It says the space nation inaugurates its new head of state. This is by Paul Seaburn of Mysterious Universe. I put this up June 27th. It says just days after President Trump announced his plans to add a space force to the American military, the so-called space nation of Asgardia inaugurated its new head of state. Each are billionaires, both like elaborate ceremonies, and the head of Asgardia is, or was, a Russian citizen. Will they get along? On June 25th, Igor Azhurbayli became the official head of state of the Space Kingdom of Asgardia, the so-called first outer space nation that already had a constitution and an elected parliament and enough citizens, over 210,000, to place it at a number 172 in comparison to the over 200 Earth-based countries. The inauguration ceremony and celebration, the entire program can be seen on their website, was held at Hofburg, the nearly 750-year-old former palace of the Habsburg dynasty and the current official residence of the office of the president of Austria. Giving even more credibility to the space kingdom of Asgardia, Azhurbayli received a congratulatory outer space message from the Russian cosmonaut Oleg Artemyev, who is currently on the International Space Station. After receiving the ceremonial necklace of Asgardia, which the bearer first tried to put on backwards, the first government prison of Asgardia, Azhurbayli gave his inaugural address, promising to have permanently inhabited space stations in Earth orbit and settlements on the moon by 2043. The speech was followed by singing, a Vietnamese opera star and a woman in a kimono singing Mozart an a cappella, and dancing and an electric violin performance. Access, and this is in quotations, quote, access to outer space should be a human right beyond the control of any earthly nation. We believe that the creation of a new legal platform for the exploration of near Earth and deep space is crucial to keep pace with humanity's rapid technological and scientific expansion off planet. Universal space law and astropolitics have to replace the current outdated international space law and geopolitics. And that's it. What we're literally talking about is that the military-industrial complex, the breakaway civilization, what we call the deep state. But this is part of the secret space program of the Space Corp, of the space fleet. All of this is pre-planned. I go into more depth about this in the minicast, the Space Force, and some of my theories and everything else. I definitely hope you guys go and pay attention to it, because we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about, well, that's all wild, but what's going to happen here? What does our uncertain future look like? Fourth generation warfare, firefighters concerned about 5G cell phone towers, and Bill Gates donating money to genetic mosquito projects. I hate that man. I do not like him. But like I said, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be talking about this and more on the other side. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. We'll be right with you. You know, to kind of come back to the idea of stand for something or fall for everything, right? I was, I have a villainous hatred towards Bill Gates. You know, if it was like a Fight Club type thing, you know, we had all these people underground and I would just sock him up and bruise him so bad. But, you know, the point I'm trying to make is whenever you believe in something,
I believe in humanity. As flawed as we are, I truly do believe in love in us. You were willing to fight for it, and you don't want to stand down. And when you see people, you know, not only wasting life, but deliberately trying to take it from others, instinctively, you know, it makes your blood boil. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here while we talk about all this crazy stuff that's going on. So, you know, I talked about Asgardia, this breakaway civilization, how they're trying to shoot themselves off into space. What is going on? You tell me. Now we have the Pentagon not trying to deter war, but, you know, saying that now we're going to use lethal joint forces. So to me, somebody that pays attention to this kind of information, that's seen the gradual increase, not only in lethality, but in deployment strategies and exercises, you see everything that's going on. And what I mean by that is you can check out things such as Thunderstorm Spiral, Jade Helm 15, UX-16, Project Gotham Shield. This is the fourth generation warfare. Again, another thing to think about is population. This is why they're trying to control it. This is the social engineering, why they want to depopulate us and bring us down to a state of subservience. There's a lot of people these days, is my point. We're growing exponentially. Fourth generation warfare. It's not first generation warfare because it's not just packs of or standing armies against standing armies. Now we have to worry about drones, biohackers, and all kinds of other crazy stuff. If you've paid attention, I played General Mark Milley talking about in the future how we'll have to deal with, I think it's little green men, hybrid armies, and terrorists. And all of this is very true. And then with Thunderstorm Spiral as well, they talk about how their next plan with warfare is how to engage targets within civilian sectors, within underground warfares, within mass population centers, tent cities, refugee encampments, and things like this. But let's get into this article because it's important to, again, notify or at least document and archive these types of things that are going on. This is by Sign of the Times. I put this up July 4th or July 3rd. It says, fourth generation warfare, Pentagon officially no longer set to deter war. Now they use lethal joint forces. It says that the Pentagon has changed the information of its goals and objectives on its websites without making any official statements, said the Task and Purpose Service that was the first to draw attention to the fact. Previously, the U.S. Department of Defense qualified as the means of supplying the military necessary to contain war and protect the security of the country. Such a description can still be found on the Pentagon's website in the Department Information section. However, the main page indicates another mission now, most significantly that the DOD had within its objectives to deter war. This has been removed. The Department of Defense's mission is to provide lethal joint forces to protect the country's security and maintain U.S. influence overseas, it reads on the website. Basically, what we're talking about is how we're becoming an empire. America is becoming an empire, and an empire has no friends. All it has is enemies. And there's a lot of different things that will be unfolding in the future. We have, as I've said before, police and military that do listen to us. And what is going to be asked of them are things like, are you going to take the guns from American citizens? You know, are you going to round up citizens? Are you going to do it? And I think, you know, this is something that they'll say no to, but you can turn on TV or you can go to any kind of police brutality website and see how cops kill black people every day. Cops kill any person any day because they move the wrong way or because they reach for their keys in their pocket. I think they'll take the guns from Americans. I really do. You know, what's going on with the Border Patrol? What's going on with ICE? Yeah, I think they'll lock up American citizens. I think they will. I think we really have reached that point to where we are this desensitized to what's going on. You see, people don't understand the depths these people play. You see, it's not a game. It's really not. You know, it is a mindset. It's a lifestyle. It's a culture. It's so much that it has to be a daily vigilance thing. You can't just give up. You can't just choose to want to try to be better. You have to be better. You have to commit day after day. These people are trying to literally have control over our future, over what we think of as reality. You see. Well, and this is why, again, I have this not healthy approach towards Bill Gates. But anyway, let's read. Let me get this clip up for you guys. It's from Activist Post. It says that in 2008, kids were at a 5 times greater risk for brain cancer from cell phones. And in 2009, the French government banned tech ads to kids under 12. And in 2018, somehow, we're still marketing to kids. Oop. Trying to get that clip up for you, and I had a little bit of a warp-a-derp. But what would it be without any kind of a hiccup? Yeah, let's get this clip up for you guys. It is from Activist Post. And they're basically trying to illustrate how, you know, we're still doing this stuff that is destructive to us, and we don't understand the ramifications. This is part of the technological domestication, but also part of the uncertain future. We don't know what these types of things are doing to us, and we don't know the long-term effects, but let's take a listen.
The French government has recently released test results showing that 9 out of 10 phones tested exceed current government limits by as much as 3 to 4-fold. Phones are in fact tested away from the body, but when they were tested by the French government in the shirt or pants pocket equivalent, they issued 3 to 4 times more radiation than is currently approved. In France, they have called this phone gate because it's quite similar to Dieselgate. Dieselgate was when the Volkswagen engines were tested and found to artificially lower the amount of pollution emitted when they were hooked up to a computer. What we have here is that the tests were manipulated so that phones passed the tests because they were not being tested in the way they're usually used. The same thing happened with the diesel engines. They passed the test because those tests. The French government.
Your phone's giving you cancer. And we really do legitimately need to start finding different ways to combat it. They have cases and everything else. We might need to start carrying those on the page and on the store, because, you know, there's a lot of different things going on with technology that are having adverse effects on us. And we need to start having preventative measures today, not just, you know, not just shungite, not just organite, not just other things. Like, we need to start having like a legitimate discussion, not about how to fight it, how to get the radiation out, whether or not we need to like soak our phones in lead or something like that. Like, today we need to figure that out. So I will do that for sure, because it's getting to a point to where it's almost kind of wild. You got this thing that's literally killing you, listening to you, reporting you to people, saying, hey, you know, this guy's over here saying stuff. I don't like what he's saying. I don't like how he's feeling. I don't like what he's talking about. I don't like what he's posting. And then boom, you know, you get hit with a censorship strike. It's crazy. It is crazy. So we'll definitely look into that. Different cases for your phone that have these kind of preventative measures, as I said before. And another thing to point out, we're still doing electroshock therapy. There's a case, I think in Kentucky, where a court ruled that they can use electroshock therapy on special needs kids. But, you know, now we have apparently a study where they're saying that they're going to use brain zaps to try to end violence. You know, they're going to shock the brain to, you know, say, hey, you need to calm down. But what happens whenever your phone can send that kind of signal? It's like, hey, this guy's getting pretty aggressive, pretty excited. And, you know, you look at your phone, boom. And you just get pacified. You've heard me talk about it on the show. I call the phone sometimes the pacification tool. And the reason I say this is because maybe it's because of the amount of information that I'm consuming at the rate that it is. Sometimes I get dizzy looking at my phone. It might be because of how we're posting things and how we're kind of trying to go about things and the people that we're talking to and how we're having to switch up a lot of different mindsets all the time. Who knows? But your phone adversely affects you. Let me get into this. It says the study, and this is by the Drudge Report feed, I put it up July 3rd. It says the study participants read short accounts of violent behavior in one. A man smashed a beer bottle over someone else's head. In another, an assailant raped an acquaintance. Then they were asked, would you do that? The day before, half of them had the foremost or the frontmost of their region responsible for such high-level functions as impulse control and moral judgments electrically stimulated, and the other had not. The people whose prefrontal cortex was stimulated reported roughly half the likelihood of committing a violent act like the ones they watched. Scientists at the University of Pennsylvania reported on Monday that they said they found such physical and sexual violence more morally wrong compared to the control group. The researchers hailed their results as evidence that increasing activity in the prefrontal cortex can reduce intentions to commit aggression and enhance perceptions of moral judgment, as they wrote in the Journal of Neuroscience. Other experts said that the results were far less than advertised. We're a long way away from a Clockwork Orange, said Dr. Paul Applebaum, director of the Division of Law, Ethics, and Psychiatry at the Columbia University Vigelos College of Physicians and Surgeons. For the study, that's a very long title, the Penn researchers randomly assigned 81 healthy adults, the average age was 20, to receive, quote, transcranial direct current stimulation of the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex behind the top of the forehead for 20 minutes via two scalp electrodes or two to get a low current for 30 seconds and then nothing, also via electrodes. Participants couldn't tell if they were receiving the stimulation or not. The researchers aimed at the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex because dozens of small neuroimaging studies have reported that in people deemed antisocial or aggressive or both, this region is typically smaller or less active than in other people. Such studies can't tell whether an impaired prefrontal cortex causes aggression or vice versa. So the Penn study, a registered clinical trial, tried to figure that out. The next day, the participants read one vignette about the beer bottle assault and one about the rape, and rated how likely they were, from no chance to definitely, to act as the assaulter did. The brain-stimulated group reported a 47% lower likelihood that they would commit the non-sexual physical assault and a 70% lower likelihood of committing the sexual assault. So literally, they're saying, we're going to zap away violent behavior. If you're aggressive, we're going to hit you with it. Right. It sounds wild. It may sound crazy. It may sound like pretty far out there. Like you said, a clockwork orange is not where we're at. Yet. We're not there yet. That's the bad thing. Because we're on a fast track to get there. Let's play this clip and then, you know, we'll move on. You have courts ruling how schools can use electroshock as punishment for special needs child for special needs students. Let's take a listen.
Live investigates a major victory for the only school in the country that uses painful electric shocks on its disabled students.
That's right. Mike Bonet has been covering this controversy for years. He's here with details about a new court decision in this. Mike.
Yeah, Ben, a Bristol County judge has sided with the Judge Rotenberg Center in Canton, allowing the school to continue using electric shocks on its students. And tonight, a parents group at the school is welcoming that decision, saying the state tried unsuccessfully to discredit the school. This controversial treatment will continue at the Judge Rotenberg Center in Canton, at least for now. In 2013, soon after this video became public, former Governor Deval Patrick's administration tried to put a stop to this practice known as an aversive treatment. but a judge just denied the motion, saying the state failed to demonstrate that there is now a professional consensus that the level 3 aversive treatment used at JRC
investigates a major victory for the only school in the country that uses painful
aversive treatment. Aversive treatment. That is wild. Aversive treatment on special needs students. People, children with learning disabilities being hit with this transcranial electrostimulation. And that's crazy. Aversive treatment. I don't even know what to say to that. I don't even know how we would condone that. But, you know, there's a few things out here that America doesn't really, that we're kind of backwards on. You know, here's a perfect example, and I'll play this clip for you guys. And this is, again, part of this uncertain future. They're putting up all this stuff. We don't know what's going on. But, you know, people have problems with things that are going on. And because we're not taking things serious, more serious problems are developing. You literally have firefighters talking about how cell phone towers, 5G towers, how it's making them sick, unsettled, nauseous. You have electroshock therapy being used on special needs students. You have doctors at the University of Pennsylvania debating, you know, should we do electroshock therapy still? Maybe it'll calm people down. You have them putting fluoride in the water, atrazine in the water, gender-bending chemicals like bisphenol A. You have Bayer merging with Monsanto saying, you know what, as soon as they get here, as soon as Monsanto gets into our building, we're going to drop the Monsanto name. It's going to be all Bayer. That's crazy. Here, let's play this video for you guys. I put this up June 29th. It's from the Activist Post. It says, if firefighters are concerned about exposure to cell phone towers and antennas, maybe everybody should. 5G complaints by San Francisco firefighters are unsettling. Let's take a listen.
That putting up these cell phone towers is safe.
But the International Association of Firefighters disagrees. They began opposing cell towers on fire stations after firefighters complained of health problems.
These firefighters developed symptoms.
Dr. Gunnar Heuser conducted a pilot study on firefighters at a station with cell towers.
And the symptoms included problem with memory, problem with intermittent confusion, problem with weakness.
Heuser says their brain scans suggest even low-level RF can cause cell damage, and he worries about more vulnerable groups like kids.
So we found abnormal brain function in all of the firefighters we examined.
So, following lobbying by firefighters, Cork and his co-author exempted fire stations from their bill, making them one place cell companies couldn't put a tower.
This is the first piece of legislation that I think anyone's aware of where somebody got an exemption.
I know scientifically that putting up these cell phone towers is safe.
But the International Association...
That's crazy. They're literally having doctors say that they're having problems with memory, the firefighters, after coming into like direct contact with these cell phone towers. They're having problems with memory, confusion, weakness, cell damage, abnormal brain functions. Dr. Gunnar Heuser. This is some very serious stuff. This is the future. This is the future of warfare. It's not just the Pentagon saying, hey, you know what? We're gonna have advanced warfare. It's not just General Mark Milley saying we're gonna have hybrid armies. It's not just, you know, electroshock therapy to detour violence for aversion therapy. It's stuff like this. That's why we have to understand the spectrums that we're up against. Why it's so important that we're asking these deep questions. You see, let me get into, not necessarily my arch nemesis, but let me get into this guy, Bill Gates, right here. He donated $4 million to a new genetic modified mosquito project. Okay, before we get into this, I want to get this video clip up for you guys where Bill Gates is saying, hey, did you know what I did? I stopped Donald Trump from investigating vaccines. I told him he shouldn't do that. Now, I'm not saying Donald Trump is going to fix vaccines. I'm not saying anything of the like. But whenever you have somebody going around bragging how they're stopping an investigation, that's probably not something good, especially if this is, you know, a very, very controversial subject. Time and time again, we've talked about how lethal some of these vaccines are. And you have the Microsoft co-founder talking about how he's halting a vaccine investigation. Let's take a listen.
About a broad set of things in energy, in health, in education, you know, pick things you want to do that are big. HIV vaccine, you could, you know, accelerate that, be associated with innovation. And then the second time I saw him was the march after that, so March 2017 in the White House. In both of those two meetings, he asked me if vaccines weren't a bad thing, because he was considering a commission to look into ill effects of vaccines. And somebody, his name is Robert Kennedy Jr., was advising him that vaccines were causing bad things. And I said, no, that's a dead end. That would be a bad thing. Don't do that. Both times he wanted to know if there was a difference between HIV and HPV. So I was able to explain that those are rarely confused with each other. About a broad set of things in energy, in health.
He's so funny, Bill Gates. You know, he's talking about like stopping vaccine investigations, you know, HPV, HIV. You know, he's asking you if you know the difference, Bill Gates. You got this guy over here literally like engineering Zika and like spreading it, engineering like Ebola and spreading it. So when he makes these kinds of things, these kinds of statements, boasting about how he's stopping investigations, that's not a good thing. Associated with investigations, that's why you should investigate it, so you can recheck your facts. Isn't that what science is about? Check, check, check. Making sure everything's on point. You see what I'm saying? Let's get into this other article where we have Bill Gates donating money to his new genetic modified mosquito project, genetically modified mosquito project. All of this stuff is important because, again, what would you consider a mosquito other than a biological vaccine? You see, I put this up June 27th. It's by Brandon Tuberville of the Event Chronicle. It says Bill Gates is at it again. After promoting dangerous vaccines at home and abroad, as well as GMOs in the third world, Gates is continuing on with his mission of promoting genetic modification by donating money into a project allegedly designed to eradicate malaria. The project consists of using genetically modified mosquitoes designed to pass on a self-destructive gene to their offspring, thus bringing the demise and the production of the Aedes aegypti mosquito. Gates is pouring in $4 million of his own money into the project overseen by the UK company Oxitec, and the plan is to eradicate the Anopheles, or the Anopheles, species of mosquito, or at the very least, to vastly lower its numbers in the wild. The genetically modified version of the Anopheles is not yet ready, but Oxitec expects them to be ready for trial by 2020. If this program sounds familiar, that's because it is. Oxitec has been creating Franken mosquitoes for years under the guise of eradicating dengue fever, Zika virus, and now malaria. Gates has also been involved with the same project, having donated $4.9 million to work on various killer mosquito projects. One risk associated with the Oxitec experiment is that the potential for the release of genetically engineered biting females into the environment. Since female mosquitoes are the mosquitoes which bite humans, Oxitec claims that its GE mosquito population is an all-boys club. However, due to the method by which the mosquitoes are stored, the potential for release of female mosquitoes is very real. As Eric Hoffman writes, quote, the sorting is conducted by hand and could result in up to 0.5%, so 50% or 0.5%, of the released insects being female. This would raise new human health concerns, as people could be bit by the genetically engineered mosquitoes. It could also hamper efforts to limit the spread of dengue fever. It should also be noted that eradicating the Aedes aegypti type of mosquito might well leave the area open to invasion by other species who may in fact be much more dangerous to human health. So not only, oh my god, Good Lord. So not only are we trying to eradicate a disease, right, with a mosquito that goes out there and bites one of its own kind and then, you know, has it kill itself, but we're also creating something that could pass down a disease to humans. So thank you, Bill Gates. We really appreciate that. This is the Agenda 21, Agenda 2030 mindset. This is what I mean by the uncertain future. We can have the plan, we can read what they're doing, but whenever it gets out there, whenever we start living it, it becomes really, really wild. Very, very scary. Imagine that. A genetically engineered mosquito. Imagine you just feel a prick on the back of your neck. It's a hot day. You've been sweating. You know? Somebody asked you, hey, you know, I need you to help me with some stuff out in the yard. So you do it. You get you feel a quick prick in the back of your neck. A few months later, you can't figure out why you're losing weight. You've developed some kind of disease. This stuff is rampant. This ideology, this reality is rampant. This kind of stuff is crazy. You see. What's even more wild about this world we are going into, apparently China has a new laser powered rifle that can literally set you on fire, called the ZKZM 500, or a laser assault rifle. Like, we're living in Halo now. The newest Chinese rifle, and I put this up July 2nd, it's by SHTF Plan, by Max Lavo. It says that the newest Chinese rifle invention is not only laser powered, but it can literally set a human being on fire. Oh, but don't worry too much. The Chinese government promises it's not lethal. If you tick off the Chinese government, they just might send soldiers with non-lethal laser powered rifles that will set you to fire to correct your behavior. According to the South China Morning Post, the new high-tech weapon is dubbed the ZKZM 500, and the laser assault rifle has similar dimensions to the AK-47. The weapon allegedly weighs about 6.6 pounds, and with a caliber of about 15 millimeters, and is powered with a rechargeable lithium battery that allows for 1,000 zaps that last 2 seconds long each. The future warfare. Here's where we're going. For 800 meters, about half a mile away or less, the rifle can burn through a target's clothes and skin, and if their clothes are flammable, set them on fire, according to the reporting done by the South China Morning Post. ZKZM 500 is reportedly now ready for mass production and to be used by the China's military and police. Only, not a big surprise there, since we all know that the slaves don't get any form of protection against the ruling class. But maker ZKMZ Laser hasn't found a licensed partner yet, so it may be some time before the Chinese police and military start setting those who irritate them by lighting them freely on fire. Think about that. China's technocratic social system, right? How crazy is stuff going on in China right now? They're literally rolling out their social credit system. They're blocking social and political dissidents from getting on the planes, trains, their kids getting on to school. Now they literally have laser rifles. What? What? Non-lethal laser rifles. I bet it's kind of like a stun gun type of deal, or a taser type of deal, or who knows? You know, is it a little laser blast that lasts for 2 seconds, and you know it goes through clothes. That's crazy. That's where we're at. that's where we're at. This is just another example of not-so-friendly tech coming out of China's modern-day dystopia. The government plans to install RFID chips into new Chinese market cars to track a vehicle's location, and has been using bird drones, each equipped with a high-definition camera, for surveying its citizens, each of whom it plans to give a personal score based on behavior by 2020. While it is true that the Chinese ruling government class, or the Chinese ruling class, is creating a broader dystopia for those living under the current regime, All those things are coming to the United States. And if one doesn't believe that to be true, that person has not been paying attention. Because you're not looking. You're not seeing what's going on. You can't see it like we can. You can't see it like everybody else can, how they're trying to build it up. This technocratic world that they're trying to build around us. this matrix. I wanted to finish the show off with this, something to think about. Apparently, a time warp has been discovered in Las Vegas. A paranormal researcher, Joshua P. Warren, has located it. Let's take a listen.
Claims he has discovered a time warp in the desert just north of Vegas. Using what's known as a differential time rate meter, also known as a DT meter, Joshua Warren claims that for the first time ever, he was able to record a measurement showing time had been slowing down for 20 microseconds, something that laws of physics say should not occur. Warren told KVVU-TV in Vegas that the big question is, what's causing this? Is this something natural that gives us a window, a gateway into another world or another level of reality? Or is this the byproduct of some kind of weird technology, be it something secret and man-made or something that's extraterrestrial? Matt Uris for CBS LA. A paranormal researcher claims he has discovered a time warp in the desert just north of Vegas.
Crazy. Time slowing down in a certain area. Why are we finishing off the show with that? Why do I want you to think about that? What is happening right now? This paradigm shift. The changing of the age, the turning of the wheels. You see, this new world order that they're building. What's happening? So many different things on so many different scales. We don't have the technology to appropriately digest what's happening, to appropriately archive and catalog what is happening. This is why we pay attention to so many fringe subjects, so many things on the edge, because you have to ask the question of what's happening right now. Yeah, you know, political stuff, blah, 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 blah. You know, all kinds of different things are happening, no doubt. But what's really happening? And I want to leave you with this. There's a certain rhythm of the world. There's a certain pattern, a flow, a energy, so to speak, a spirit that goes through everything. And people can tap into it. People can act like it's not real. People can try to turn themselves off to it, but they can feel it deep down. They know it's real. The ether. Nikola Tesla talked about this. This is that energy that's just right there. It's kind of like oxygen, yet we all breathe it. We all exude it too. It's everywhere. Time, we made that stuff up. We made it up for us so we could, you know, kind of be on clock. But even then, there it is, that pattern, that rhythm, that synchronicity. There is something going on that we can't tell. There's a lot of people that see everything happening day by day and choose not to ask, hey, can I take part in this? Am I a part of this? Is this real? There are so many different things happening on so many different levels. It's almost dishonest, intellectually dishonest, for us not to engage them. However, that's all I really have for you guys. I want to say thank you for tuning into Leveling America, Technological Domestication, and Uncertain Futures. This is the Season 7 debut of Factions of Freedom. Wow, whole lot going on there. And you know what? You really want to help me? You really, really want to help me? Bring a friend. Tell a friend about what we're doing over here. Really try to get the word out. Basically, what I try to talk about is the spectrum, everything that we have going on, how we're a part of it, how we're able to do these types of things. I try to challenge people to just do that this season. You know, show them the page, show them the website, show them some of the videos. Don't worry about yourself looking crazy. I already got you kind of covered. But really, we need to understand the kind of times that we're in and the powers that are at our fingertips. We have so much potential, and we really need to start realizing it. However, that's all I really have for you guys. If you have any questions, feel free to email me. I'll have it in the description bar below, as well as all those other mini-casts that I did in between the break. And like I said, guys, stay vigilant. Expose lies and share truth. This is Noise Era, Freedom Faction.